Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers Show. I'm your host, Virginie Boone, alongside co-host Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
And today we're going to focus on grow.
Well,
a lot of grow.
Yes, so it is true that Sonoma County has a long history of both wineries and vineyard properties growing lots of other food than grapes. And Jackson Family has taken it kind of to a whole other level.
For sure.
With our guest today, Tucker Taylor, who is the Director of Culinary Gardens for Kendall Jackson at Jackson Family Wines. So we're going to talk a lot about just all the work that he does, all the restaurants that he grows for. We're going to talk at least for an hour about the truffle dogs that he works with. Maybe 2 hours. That might be a three-hour segment.
We can maybe do a whole other podcast with just them. You're so cute.
I would really enjoy that, I will say. But I wanted your perspective sort of from the Sonoma County wine growers side of things of like, you know, you have a lot of members that grow lots of things other than wine grapes. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, we've talked about, I think, on the show when Sam was in from Jancis Robinson as well, that, you know, we really came to wine in Sonoma County by our farmers sort of evolving what they grow. So most of our farmers didn't start off being like, yay, I want to plant wine grapes and be a part of the wine community. It was really, I am a farmer. I have, you know, a ranch or a farm that I want to grow something on. And they kind of evolved their crops. So many of the farmers, including my husband and his family, grew everything from hops to vegetables to apples. And still today, we know we did a survey with the wine growers, and for literally every acre of wine grapes they have, they can have as many as 2, 3, 4 additional acres that are in other ag or even just pasture open space. And so still you see, you know, as even though wine grapes are sort of considered the dominant crop to some extent in Sonoma County, a lot of our farmers do still farm other crops. And so, you know, it's important to, I think, keep that in mind, because farming really, it's, they're farmers first, as they would tell you, not wine growers first. They're definitely farmers first. And ag is such an important part of our DNA here.
Right. And I would say our guest, Tucker Taylor, is also sort of a farmer first.
Yeah.
Going into a little bit of his bio, I thought it was really interesting that he grew up outside of Jacksonville, Florida, on a 3-acre plot of land where he helped his father tend their garden each summer. So it really goes back to sort of his childhood of learning how to grow things for eating. But he didn't think at the time that that passion would become a career. So he went into sort of college studying business administration with a focus on finance. He worked as a prep cook, and I think that led to sort of a chance to do a little bit more gardening and growing of food. And he even earned the restaurant that he worked at the City Beautification Award. And this really sparked his initial interest in designing with plants. So It's always interesting. I mean, there's a lot of different ways. We've had conversations like this before of how people get into wine, how they get into agriculture, how they get into a whole manner of different things that they do. But I think sometimes we don't think about how somebody gets into gardening or growing food necessarily, and it does often come from their early days. So Tucker also spent some time in Oregon working for a farm there, as well as I think outside of Atlanta. So he's been a lot of different places, but he came to Northern California to work at the French Laundry in the Napa Valley.
And not a shabby gig.
Not a shabby gig. Not an unserious gig, right? And
no.
So that's where Tucker spent 5 years redesigning the gardens across the street from the French Laundry to be an extension of the restaurant. What do you know? In 2013, he sees the opportunity to do something similar at Kendall Jackson, their Jackson Wine Estates in Santa Rosa. And so that's really what we're going to be talking with him about, is sort of sharing the garden with visitors, what that looks like, growing food for Michelin-level chefs, and teaching people about how to grow their own food or how to do gardening in their own backyard.
Yeah, and I think that's really what makes Sonoma County, another reason why Sonoma County is so special, is just we have such a bounty of local produce and things we grow, and that when you get to actually pair that with the wine, it just, I think all the, it's like this aha moment of like, wow, this all works. And I think it's why we're so lucky here. I think there's wine regions around the world that can produce great wine, but we have the benefit of producing incredible ingredients for the food we eat that go with the wine we get to drink with it. So I think that's very exciting.
Well, and I think with that farming first perspective too, yes. here that we leave space for that.
Yes. And land.
I think
or space.
I think that's what I meant.
Is
land.
It?
But
I was
yes.
thinking mental space, like the capacity to do that.
It's important to leave mental space.
Lots of it.
We will be right back with our guest, Tucker Taylor. This is The Good Stuff. We'll be right back. Stuff. I'm Virginie Boone here with Carissa Cruz and our guest today, Tucker Taylor of Kendall Jackson and Jackson Family Wines. Tucker, you have brought us a few little leaves, green leaves. I know this isn't great for audio purposes, but they're cute little green leaves. Can you tell us a little bit about what they are?
Yeah, absolutely. The leaf that's a blue-gray color is called oyster leaf. And it tastes just like oysters. It originates in the moors of Scotland. And I originally obtained the seeds from a source in France.
Wow.
And
it really does taste like oysters. It's amazing.
It really does.
Yeah. When I was growing them at the French Laundry, we didn't have to sell them. So when I got to Jackson Family Wines, I had to put my business cap on, and we went out on a limb and decided to charge $1 a leaf, and we were making about $1,000 a week on that leaf alone.
Okay, so I need to take up gardening.
Yep. And I'm realizing I just ate 25 cents.
Yeah, you ate at least.
That might be 50 cents I just consumed.
So let's take a little bit of a step back and talk about sort of that background, coming to the French Laundry and running kind of their culinary gardens, if you will, and then making the transition over to Sonoma County. How did this all start for you?
Well, I was farming outside of Atlanta, and the heat and humidity was starting to get to me after 6 years, and I started looking for other opportunities, and through the network of chefs for whom I was growing, found out that Chef Keller was looking for a farmer, and I jumped on the opportunity to throw my name in the hat, and after a couple of phone interviews, I got a letter in the mail, and they wanted to fly me out to continue the interview process, and it was a really amazing experience. And
can I interrupt you? Is that intimidating to think about interviewing for that job? Is it exciting? That's like you head right to the top.
Yeah, it was a little bit of both, it was just, you know, the schedule was just jam-packed, so there was really no time to...
They got you in the cycle, yeah. And then you're like, mm-hmm. Next thing you know...
And it culminated with dinner in what they call the box, which is the chef's office that looks under the kitchen.
Wow.
Which was also an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. So I moved to Yountville in 2007 and began redesigning the culinary garden there.
So at that point, had there been gardens and he wanted them to kind of be bigger or different types of things, or what was sort of your task?
Yeah, when I started, there was a small herb garden right across the street from the restaurant, and then the previous culinary gardener had been farming the back plot, and, you know, it was very productive, but it was, you know, there was a disparity between how manicured the landscape is around the French Laundry and then the plot across the street. Mm-hmm. So I redesigned it to be more of an extension of the restaurant, and I also redesigned it to hopefully draw people into the garden, because not everyone can afford to dine at the French Laundry, much less mm-hmm. get a reservation, but anybody could walk into the garden. And I feel like that was a big part of the garden's success.
Mm-hmm.
But then people started asking me to design gardens at their wineries or their estates. And with Chef Keller's blessing, I started consulting on the side, and then that's ultimately how I ended up visiting Kendall Jackson. One of my mentors, Jeff Dawson, designed the original culinary garden there about 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was an honor to see his work and follow in his footsteps. And then in 2013, started going over there and was originally going to consult, but realized the three-month conversation kept getting better and better, and that they were looking for more than just a consultation. So they asked me to write my dream job description, and I said I could do that. And I've just hit my 10-year anniversary.
I was just going to say, 10
years. Congratulations.
Congrats. Yeah.
So how different was it to go from a restaurant environment to a winery environment? I mean, did you have to think about what you were growing in a different way?
I think that it was just a transition of mutually educating each other. So working with the chefs, like Chef Tracy at the estate, mm-hmm. and learning what the culinary team's needs are, and then also bringing new crops for them to play around with. Mm-hmm. And
how do you discover the new crops you want to bring in? Like, how does that process work?
Well, it's when I was at the French Laundry, the restaurant closed twice a year. So it closed for approximately a couple weeks in the summertime and then a week in the wintertime. So everyone would take a vacation at the same time, and chefs would travel to other parts of the world to continue learning from other chefs at other restaurants.
That doesn't sound like a vacation. If in their time off, they're learning to do more work.
But they're eating.
But they're eating.
They're eating.
So I guess
really
that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'm thinking like I'm on a beach somewhere.
Well, I think when you love what you do, you don't really
work. That's fair. Well, I'm drinking wine on the beach for sure.
So chefs would come back with different ideas, and then, you know, also learning from other farmers, and, you know, Instagram has been a huge,
right,
like, eye-opening part of, you know, learning and meeting chefs and farmers from around the world. And I've learned so many new crops just from social media. It's pretty amazing.
Well, and I think you have now become an Instagram star on social media, teaching a bunch of folks about what is possible and available and going well together. So it's been fun. I know I follow your, and you have some of the best photos.
Oh, thank you.
Ever.
I agree. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You make some things that I typically wouldn't necessarily want to eat look really, really appealing. I'm a picky eater. I'll just say it.
I mean, I'm sort of like, what?
Yeah.
You don't want to eat all of it?
Do you know, I'm actually not. I love truffles, but I don't like mushrooms.
That is
very me.
Kind of makes
know.
No sense whatsoever. I know. So, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a texture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, but I look at some of the photos you do, I'm like, I should try that again. That looks very beautiful. And maybe I just haven't, I mean, I'm always up to still trying, because I feel like you have to, you don't have to consume everything. You should keep trying though to see, because I think you always have those aha moments with food at some point, or an ingredient at some point, and then it changes. But maybe you just haven't had it prepared the right way, or fresh, or whatever that it may be.
I think you should try the ice lettuce in front of you.
Okay.
Okay, that's the other leaf that we have in front of us.
So the ice lettuce looks like it's covered in tiny diamonds, and it originates in coastal Africa. And being a coastal plant, it takes salts from the soil, so it has a really nice briny flavor, slightly citrusy. And it's not really a lettuce, it's a succulent, so it has a really nice crunch.
Yeah.
So how have these, each of these leaves been used in the culinary program? Like, or what have you seen chefs do with either of these?
So with like the oyster leaf, I've seen our chefs make a mignonette, and they'll set that with the gelatin and paint that on the leaf surface, and then serve it as a one bite on a spoon, which is really nice. It's also nice with the dollop of creme fraiche and some caviar on top.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now Chris is interested.
And I'm like, excuse me? Yeah. What was that?
I really like the ice lettuce on hamachi. That's really good. But, you know, we are growing for so many chefs in San Francisco, and every night menus change at different restaurants, so there's... it's almost infinite what the chefs are doing with these.
Yeah, so, it's kind of fascinating.
And talk about the gardens. Like, how many acres do you have planted? How many different things? seedlings do you have planted? What is that?
So we are farming on approximately 6 acres at the Kendall Jackson Wine Estate and Gardens on Fulton. Mm-hmm. And I have the privilege of farming with David Gonzalez, and David has been farming there for 23 years now, and he is the salt of the earth and a wealth of information. And then we have a core team of 5 people. Never really counted how many different things we grow, but it's a lot.
A lot. Okay, so you have a lot of stuff growing there, but give me some examples. Like, what would we find besides these two things that we've already tried?
So we're growing for a total of 30 Michelin stars in the Bay Area, and a lot of...
That just rolls off your tongue. Like, that, I mean, like, 30 Michelin stars, that's a
lot.
Big deal.
Yeah. And so a lot of these chefs are preparing course meals, and so the amount of food on each plate's relatively small, so we grow a lot of petite crops to correspond to the relatively small amount of food on each course. So, like, the Tokyo turnips that we're harvesting are the size of your pinky nail. And so we're kind of thinning and harvesting at the same time. And then after a couple of weeks of that, they become a demi-size. So that's about the size of your thumbnail. And then after a couple of weeks of that, they become a baby size. So they're just, you know, just shy of a golf ball. And so all of our petite crops, we harvest by the 100 counts. And all of our baby crops, we... pack them in 5-pound cases. So we try to have a little bit for everybody, because not every chef is going to want petite crops or microgreens. A lot of chefs just want some really nice baby vegetables. Mm-hmm. But we consider ourselves soil farmers, since that's the foundation of everything we do. So we add a lot of compost, we rotate our crops, and we plant cover crops, and we harvest nutrient-dense produce as a result. So they're, you know, vibrant colors, intense flavors, longer shelf life. And I strongly believe that's why we have a waiting list of chefs for our produce.
Yeah, I would imagine. So how much do you think in your, you know, during your time doing this, both for Thomas Keller and certainly at Kendall Jackson, how much are you sort of informing what the, you know, how much are you leading kind of what ends up on menus versus chefs deciding what they want and you grow it? It seems like you would have an increasing impact and influence on what dishes they want to create based on what you have been able to introduce to them.
Well, I think at the French Laundry, it was a blank slate. So I was able to bring in a more intensive style of production, realizing that the chefs are thinking in service and how many counts they need. So it was roughly 90 counts per service. And so that's why now we harvest in 100 counts. And then at Kendall Jackson, it's been sort of understanding a different workflow, and they might be preparing past canapes for 200 people. They might be preparing a buffet lunch for 30 people. Or they might be preparing a 12-course meal for 8 people and everything in between. So it's a lot of fun to get to plug and play that way, learning that if we have a buffet, a lot of people aren't going to go for the beets, but they will go for the carrots.
That's so fascinating. You have an insight into psychology, yes. I think, given what people will eat and not eat.
Yeah. And then it's also nice that if we're long on cucumbers, then the culinary team's there to make pickles or kimchi, and they've been making tomato sauce all summer long that they'll pull out all winter long. And so it's really nice to be able to have an outlet right there next to the garden. And also instant feedback. A few years ago, our baby celery was a little bitter, and Tracy called me and told me I was able to talk.
Was she nice about it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Of course. I was able to talk with our irrigation manager right after that conversation, and we upped our irrigation because celery needs a little bit more water, and we're able to change flavor profiles pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
I mean, we always say you can grow anything in Sonoma County.
Yeah, pretty
much. Do you find that to be true? I was going to say,
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, we...
Question mark?
We do grow Brussels sprouts, but that's one crop that we, I don't want to say we struggle with it, but we grow baby Brussels sprouts.
I have some of those. We tried that too in my backyard. And my farmer husband did pretty well at it, but it was like it only worked out about twice that we actually enjoyed them. Yeah. So they were a little tricky.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Anything else that you have? Do you have any new discoveries that you can share with us? Is there something that you've recently kind of introduced or been able to grow?
Well, several years ago, Doug Keene from Cyrus reached out to me and asked me to start growing mioga. So I found some plants and I've been growing mioga for several years. And so...
I don't know what that is.
So mioga is in the ginger family, but instead of harvesting the root, you harvest the new buds that shoot off of the root. And so Chef Keita at Hana has been asking me for mioga as well. So next season will be the first season of our harvest. So I'm excited about that.
Congratulations.
There you go. And I learned a new word today and a new crop.
All right. Well, when we come back, we can learn some other words, hopefully.
That would be great.
All right. We're back on The Good Stuff with our guest, Tucker Taylor, and we were talking about all the things that we can grow here in Sonoma County and all the things that he does grow at Kendall Jackson Wine Estates. So I'm curious, and you mentioned the compost piece of, you know, just sort of considering yourself a soil farmer, really more than just all the things that you produce out of that soil. And Jackson Family has been such a leader in sustainability. How have you brought kind of that sustainability mindset to the gardens that you manage?
Well, so a big part of that is education. So we have people visiting from around the world, and it's a nice opportunity to talk about the importance of fresh produce and also soil quality and that relationship. And hopes of inspiring people to want to go home and plant gardens for themselves or expand upon their existing gardens or even visit their local farmers market. There's also been a lot of internal education of showing what a garden with a high organic matter content can do. So we have almost 10% organic matter in our soils, which is really high. And it's been fun watching Sean Kajiwara, Katie Jackson's husband. He heads regenerative farming for Jackson Family Wines. And it's been fun seeing what they're doing over at the La Crema site at Sara Lee. And they've got sheep and chickens. And it's so fun to go visit and see all of that running through the vineyards.
Yeah. And do you have chickens on your gardens as well?
Yeah, we have a small coop and we have eggs for our culinary team. And we have a special recipe in our cookbook Seasons that's called the Undeviled Eggs. It's a lot of fun.
That's funny.
So sometimes we'll serve those before our farm to table dinners.
Okay. And what makes them undeviled?
I think that they're just soft boiled.
Okay. All right. Soft boiled and from really sweet, nice chickens, not mean chickens.
Yeah.
I've had chickens. Some of them are mean. It does happen. But you probably see the sheep and are like, don't let them into my garden.
Right.
Because they'll eat everything.
Yes. Yeah.
What else are you sort of working on in terms of soil or even just the education piece? Is there sort of an ongoing education program that people can take part in?
Well, we have, during the season, we have garden tours, and that's a big component of getting people into the garden to learn more about our growing practices, as well as what's going on in the vineyards and how they relate. Because it's, you know, we are in wine country, but I feel like it's a nice respite to get people out of the vineyards sometimes, and everyone can relate to a garden. Especially a vegetable garden.
Yeah, that's right.
So do you go home and garden as well?
I have a bonsai collection. So it's still gardening, but it's different.
I'm always curious.
do you have a vineyard at home?
We do. Yes, we do, in fact. Yeah. Yes. But we were talking off air about the truffle dogs. So Maybe you can talk, because I think historically truffles are not known necessarily to grow in Sonoma County. So, but you've been on this venture with truffles. So maybe just how did you get into it? And then definitely talk about the dogs, because we love dogs.
Well, in 2011, Jess Jackson really wanted to plant a truffle orchard. So there is 10 acres of inoculated oaks and hazelnuts planted here in Sonoma County, and 6 years in the project was our first harvest, which was right on time. Hmm. And so we are getting ready to enter our sixth season of harvest. Our biggest harvest was 65 pounds. And we've been working with our friends of the Alexander Valley Truffle Company. They have trained dogs, so we've been working with their dogs. And I have two truffle dogs. They're called Lagotto Romagnolos, so they're an ancient Italian breed. And
they're super cute.
So Tito cute. Just turned two last month,
Tito.
And Tira is just over a year and a half, and so they're in training. So this will be their first season out in the field hunting.
So describe the training. Like, how do you get them to find the truffles but not eat the truffles?
So mainly they're looking for the treats. And so
of course,
you start out with a truffle in one hand and a treat in the other, and you pick a word, and my word is bene, which means good in Italian. So anytime they hear the word bene, they know that the game is on. And so it's just handwork. So you just switch the truffle back and forth and put it in your closed hand, and they touch their nose on the truffle, and then they get their treat. And then so little by little, you start hiding those truffles around the house and then around the yard. And then out of season, we use truffle oil. So we either put that on a piece of cotton or a piece of bread and put that in these little tins and hide the tins around. So it's a lot of fun.
It's like the truffle game.
Yeah.
To get the crop.
Will any other type of dog work? Or, I mean, I know this is sort of the heritage of truffles, but can you train other types of dogs?
Yeah, you can train almost any type of dog to hunt truffles.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking my chocolate lab would eat the truffles for sure, no matter how much training was involved. So maybe not her, but all other dogs.
But can you just talk about, too, the truffles fascinate me, because, right, they're underground. That's why you need the dogs. Like, how do they grow, and how do you, I guess you train the dogs to find them, but it's a very unique crop.
Yeah, so the truffles start forming in April, May, and you know, they just continually grow all summer long. We generally go out during Thanksgiving, right before Thanksgiving, and hunt and maybe find a few truffles. And then season starts picking up in December, and January is generally our biggest month. And it's like an adult Easter egg hunt. And it's pretty amazing to watch the dogs work. And I've watched dogs stop mid-track, stick their nose up in the air, and then walk three rows over and find a truffle that's a foot under the ground.
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. So is Sonoma County the only place outside of Europe that has truffles, is able to grow truffles? It's very specific, isn't
no,
it?
There are people growing truffles in Oregon and Washington State, as well as on the East Coast and North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee. And so we are a part of the North American Truffle Growers Association. A couple years ago, we had the Congress at the Flamingo Hotel. I just got back from Paso from our Congress down there a few weeks ago, and we had our keynote speaker as a grower from Spain, and I learned so much from him. And
so that could be my future job. I could run the National Truffle Association.
I think you need to make that happen immediately.
Right?
Yeah, there's lots of good stories that we could write about truffles. Dogs involved, for sure. Yeah, so what you say you learned a lot. Like, what did he talk about that you didn't know?
I think it's just different nuances of, like, irrigation practices and the mindset behind that. And in Spain, they have what's called Spanish wells, where they'll auger out a column and then they'll fill that in with a soilless media that's inoculated with truffle spores, with the idea that the roots are going to the path of least resistance. And then when those truffles grow in those columns, they're perfectly spherical, which is what chefs are looking for tableside presentations. And, you know, it makes it nicer to shave on a plate. But recently they've gotten into trenching along the drip line of the trees just to make it easier. So instead of augering out columns, they have a trench, and it's sort of the same idea. And then he showed photographs of truffles that were formed in a line, which makes it easier to harvest.
Suddenly you have a row crop.
Right.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I mean, there's always, it just seems like there's always innovation in something that goes back as far as time when you talk about agriculture. And that, you know, I mean, you experience that every day with the Sonoma County Wine Growers, but what you're doing is certainly also very innovative.
I know, and we're going to have to talk more about that when we come back after the break.
Back on the Good Stuff with Tucker Taylor, and one thing that we really wanted to know more about was what's going on at the Kendall Jackson Wine Center right now with food and wine pairing.
Well, so we have our amazing food and wine pairing that we offer every day, and everything is focused on the garden with each course, and we pair our estate wines with every course. And then recently, our team has put together a new seasonal wine flights and bites. And so that's three courses. So it's a little more abbreviated for people that don't want to sit down for the whole experience, but it's still amazingly delicious. And there's a little takeaway at the end, which is a lot of fun.
Sounds amazing. I think we need to, that's another live broadcast, I think.
I think there's, yes. I think we need to get out there. Michelle's once again nodding her head. Yeah, so we're going to take the show on the road so we can enjoy all of it.
From the garden. Yeah. I think we were going to ask Tucker a couple fun questions.
Yeah.
What do you think? You
think we should do it.
Lead the way?
Yeah. So, all right, Tucker, what's the best part of your day?
I think the best part of my day is first thing in the morning, meeting with the garden team and talking about what we're going to accomplish for the day. And today is our big harvest day for chefs in San Francisco, so it's always exciting because there's a big push to get everything harvested before it gets too hot, and then get everything processed and check and recheck to make sure we're not missing anything. And it's just really good energy in the garden today.
So when you say morning, is that my morning, or is that like 4 a.m?
There's a farmer morning.
I know, is that farmer morning?
It depends on the time of the year. So this time of year, we're starting around 7 just because it's dark out.
Right,
And, but sometimes that might be 5:30 because we need to get the crops in before it gets too hot.
Yeah.
All right, next fun question. Do you want me to do it?
I can do it. Okay. So Tucker, if you had to describe what you do to a 6-year-old, what would it be?
I get to play outside all day.
it's like all day recess.
Yeah, it is.
All day recess with dogs.
With dogs.
And food.
And food.
And teaching other people things. I mean, I think the education piece is so important. Do you feel that you've inspired like a whole generation of people that have come through Kendall Jackson or some of your other gigs to become gardeners of their own?
Yeah, I've had definitely people reach out and talk about how they've found inspiration in our culinary gardens, and it's always really nice to hear. And we cannot have enough people growing food.
Yeah. That is definitely true, especially here in Sonoma County. It feels like we should all be growing food as much as we can. All right, what do you think?
I just want to know how people get to KJ, to Kendall Jackson, to experience the gardens, to experience the food, the pairings. I mean, I know your main website is KJ.com. Is it as simple as that? Like,
it's
that's the easiest
that.
Website ever. So KJ for Kendall Jackson, KJ.com. So they can go and make appointments. But you also, folks can kind of pop in too because you have the store and they can grab a glass of wine or tasting right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we have a lot of people that come in and just grab a glass of wine and take a stroll through the garden and just spend an afternoon listening to the birds, watching the butterflies. And
A great way just to kind of reset.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And then, Tucker, if they want to follow along and see the dogs, see all of your beautiful photography, see what you're doing, what's your handle? I know you do a lot on Instagram, so how do they find you?
My handle on Instagram is Farmer T.
Yeah.
And then if you want to see the truffles, that's hashtag Sonoma Truffles. And if you want to see the dogs, that's hashtag Tito the Truffle Dog or Tira the Truffle Dog.
Wow, awesome. They have their own. So are their handles more popular than other handles?
Well, they're just hashtags, so it's
hashtags,
a way for people to search them.
To search them, okay.
That's great.
That's what I'm going to be doing later today.
There you go. Well, you should definitely follow along, see all the beautiful photography, see all the beautiful things you grow at Kendall Jackson Wine Estate, and definitely go visit.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today, Tucker.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All the great things you do for Sonoma County.
Thank you.
This is The Good Stuff. We'll be right back.
You know, Carissa, all that talk of gardens and gardening and different types of ingredients. We've got Thanksgiving coming up.
We do.
Sort of feels like a good time to maybe hit some local farmers markets.
Yeah, don't hit the farmer. Just the farmer's market.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Don't worry. I won't. But I think, and just maybe come up with something new. I mean, be adventurous. I mean, the things that he's doing over at Kendall Jackson.
Super inspiring.
Yeah, very inspiring, very adventurous. And everyone should have some sort of garden if they can.
Well, and I think it's just so fun, too, to hear how passionate he is about farming, gardening, the soil, and thinking through. And I'm always in awe of what a special place Sonoma County is, that we get to grow all of these things here and get to be a part of this great culinary and wine community.
Well, and truffles, I mean, we wouldn't have been talking about that 10 years ago or so, but I mean, so you just don't know what else is on the horizon.
Yeah, you really can grow everything here. So really, there's no reason to ever leave, and folks that are not currently hanging out in Sonoma County, you should definitely come visit.
Yeah, okay.
Is the bottom line.
And maybe drink some wine.
And definitely drink some wine. Not only our Tuesday night wine, but then you should definitely drink some wine on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So you celebrate with your family.
It's very communal.
And drink wine.
It's the nicest thing to share.
It is the nicest thing to share.
Okay, what are you going to have Tuesday before Thursday?
Before Thursday. So Tuesday, since we had Tucker on the show, and we know Jackson family has a number of wonderful wines and wine brands, I'm actually planning to have a Hartford Court, which I love.
Lovely wines.
And I'm going to do the Russian River Valley Chardonnay, which is a blend of grapes they buy from a number of different growers and some of their own fruit. And I love... Sometimes it's fun to have vineyard designated wines, and sometimes it's fun just to have an AVA appellated. So I'm going to do the Russian River Valley Chardonnay.
Beautiful wine. I will come over on Tuesday for that. But
perfect.
At my house, when you come over after, I was also going to sort of highlight a wine from the Jackson family portfolio, and it's Arrowwood, which is
nice.
In Sonoma Valley.
I haven't
had
one of those in a long time.
Yeah,
so I will be over.
Okay. And, you know, I live in Sonoma Valley, so I drive by Arrowwood a lot. I was lucky enough to know Dick Arrowwood a bit, and he's a great guy. But this is their Cabernet from Smothers Remick Ridge.
Nice.
Which is a long-standing vineyard source for them and ties to the Smothers family. So that should be good.
All right. Well, we'll start with the Hartford Court and then move on to their Arrowwood Cab. Sounds like a wonderful Tuesday night.
It does. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Good Stuff Hour today. Thank you to our guest, Tucker Taylor. And from Sonoma County to wherever you are, Carissa and I hope you always remember to drink the good stuff.
And happy Thanksgiving, everyone.